Hello and welcome back to Ecclesiastes 5, the B-side. Now, we started this B-side series yesterday with an introduction to philosophy, why it matters, and what the Bible says about it. Today, we start in on two philosophies in particular, theism and deism. A little reminder first that I will be oversimplifying here. Philosophies are far more complex, but it does help to get the big picture. And I am going to present this as one progression of logical thought, rather than a full historical explanation of all the big thinkers who came up with this. So, please keep in mind that there is much more depth and history to each of these. Okay, let's start in with theism. Theos is the Greek root for God. So theism is essentially a foundational belief in God or gods. Most cultures around the world have some strong roots in some form of theism. While polytheism is belief in many gods, and pantheism holds a belief in the God nature in all things, monotheism is the belief in one God. Christians believe in one God in three persons, the triune God. And this particular theism has been deeply foundational to all of Western history and thought, which is why we still study the Bible in school, whether or not the kids believe it. Now, to clarify here, theism is a belief in God or gods, not necessarily a philosophy in the proper sense. However, if you believe in God, it thoroughly affects your philosophy on everything else. So I'm going to explain theism as a philosophy grounded in theistic faith. Faith is foundational, and what we're going to see moving forward is that every philosophy is profoundly affected by its view on who God is or isn't. Here in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 begins, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so let your words be few." This is at the core of theistic thinking. God is God, and you are not. He creates, he gives truth, he gives meaning. And the fear of God, or respect for God, is at the very core of theistic philosophy. Three times the Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Essential elements of theism in the Bible: God exists, God loves us, and God is the point. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we are created for his good pleasure. Theism. Now, when I use the word point, what I mean is the thing that gives meaning and purpose in life. For the theist, it is God who gives life purpose and meaning. Okay, next up, deism. Now, we're going to step away from biblical teaching, but deism was around way back in Jesus' time, and it has had several resurgences throughout history, rather notably in American Revolutionary times, among some, though not all, of America's founding fathers. The deists still believe in God, often the Christian God, but they believe in a hands-off version of God. In this view, God created everything, but doesn't get actively involved. God sort of wound up the clock of the universe, then let it unwind, come what may. So in this view, God exists, God might love us, but doesn't do anything about it. It's up to us to act, and God is still the point. But you have to ask, is that fair? This God is different today than at the beginning, and we were created for his, well, we don't know exactly. Again, I'm simplifying. Here in Ecclesiastes, you can see the roots of deism in Solomon's way of thinking. Solomon believes in God, but there is no active exchange between them. He has a fear of God, but no love for God, and never acknowledges any love from God. So where do we see theism and deism in modern thinking? Well, here in the Western Hemisphere, the vast majority of people still hold on to a belief in God, mostly monotheism. There are some very loud atheists out there, of course, but polls consistently show faith is the norm. However, only a small percentage of those God believers live as if God is actually involved in daily life. Our collective mentality, much like Solomon's, treats God as an out there creator. Got this rock moving, but left us to figure out the details. We might not use the term, but in a lot of ways, it's basically deism. I remember when I first became a Christian, and one of my cousins asked me, "So you actually think that God cares what we do?" He didn't deny God's existence, he just didn't see God involved. Back here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon's line of reason might follow along a deistic path, and we will learn a lot from it, but he always comes back to God as both the creator and the source of meaning. Back in chapter 3, "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him." And Solomon is fully convinced that God will judge. He does care what we do, and he will respond. And at the end of the book, in chapter 12, Solomon says this, "The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them." That warning always gets me. Be warned, my son. This is personal. Wise words will guide you through this life and keep you anchored. But which words are the truly wise? With so many philosophies, who do I listen to? Solomon reminds us here that the wise words given by one shepherd are true and right. In other words, God's truth. And he warns us to be careful of anything in addition to them. Now, I do not believe that means that the Bible is the only place to find wisdom. I believe that it's quite likely that Solomon himself collected wisdom and proverbs from many other cultures. But ultimately, the stuff that proves true in the long run came from God, the one shepherd. Now, discerning which really comes from him is tricky. And that's what the Bible is for. It is when we lose our bearings and let loose our anchor that we are truly in trouble. In the last part of that verse, "Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body." I love that verse. Every time I get lost in a bookstore or library, it comes back to me. I remember wandering the local Barnes & Noble to discover a section marked "Discount Religion and Spirituality," and I thought, isn't that the picture of modern faith? Clearance rack religion. And it was right next to Starbucks. Perfect. "Of making many books, there is no end." And that's what makes Ecclesiastes so useful to us. It sort of walks us through the bookstore religion and philosophy aisle, helps us understand the logic and thinking behind it, and see where it leads, but all the while keeping us grounded in God's truth. Good reminder on this journey. Thanks for joining me on the B-side. Tomorrow's B-side brings us to existentialism and nihilism. The big words. Remember to read chapter 5, and I'll see you there.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.